Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions, and my guest today is Jennifer Bates. I've described her as the purest entrepreneur that I have met. And when we took the break, Jennifer was explaining her partnership where this other person wasn't bringing a great deal of value, and she wanted to split, terminate that relationship. So how did that take place? Was it rough? Was it easy?
Well, it took a little time for me to get to the decision that that's truly what I wanted to do and nothing else was going to work. So I approached him and I said, you know what? This is really for me to run with because I'm doing it all. And I was the one who stopped working. I had no visible means of support at that time. I had folded one business, which was really shoestring, and I'd quit a part-time job that I had, and I had divorced by then, well, in process of getting divorced, and there was no money there that I was asking for or anything. I was completely on my own, and I was living on credit lines and credit checks and credit cards, believe it or not, because I wanted to see this idea through. It was sort of a dramatic story that I couldn't just stop and say, gee, I wonder what would have happened if I had done that. Because eventually someone would have anyway. Now there are 8 people in the market doing what I do.
Wow.
8 companies and growing. So that's competition. But at the time there was nothing. It was just a raw idea. And I didn't know I could even pull it off or if anyone would even buy the software. You know, I'm from the States. I barely speak Spanish. I had no contacts, no professional contacts to go and, you know, sounding board, no anything. Just the idea that, gee, this might work.
Right.
So I approached my partner at the time and said, you know what? I just want to buy you out. And I wrote him a proposal. And I said, I'll give you $5,000 and call it the startup idea and whatever ideas you put in up until now. There was no money in the game at all. Any money came out of my pocket to buy advertising materials and all that. But that came later. At this time, I was just sitting home programming. And
but that $5,000 was going to be payable.
I didn't have $5,000. I was in debt. By the time I sold the first software program, I was about $40,000+ in debt.
So the $5,000 offer was when you finally got it.
It was against future income from the program.
Right.
It was tied to sales of the program. And I told him he was welcome to come and look at the books to see what happened. Because I didn't know anything was going to happen. I didn't know I would sell one. It could have been a total flop.
Right.
I don't know.
Floppy disk, but floppy business.
Flop on floppy. Yeah. And at that time, it was floppy disk. It was floppy disk.
So what was his reaction to your offer right off the bat of $5,000? He said, you're crazy.
Well, it proved that he really didn't have much. You know, he didn't know if it was going to work or not, and there was no skin in the game. So he just said, sure. And to him, it was probably a free $5,000.
And you said yourself, geez, I should have offered $2,000. That's one of the worst things in negotiation when the other person accepts your offer.
You don't
In fact, on the other side, usually should sort of fight a little bit, et cetera, because the other people feel really bad when you immediately accept an offer.
Well,
like, but anyway, so you reached this conclusion,
he said yes,
an agreement.
And it was a matter of trust, really. I had no reason not to, he had no reason not to trust me. You know, it wasn't a bad term thing. You know, it was fine. And then I just went about my business.
So there wasn't a fight. It was just termination based on economic decisions and things were well. Okay.
Yeah.
So here you are. You're now, but you were by yourself. And you're working
really
on credit lines and credit cards. And,
yep.
And you know, did any family people help you? And,
No.
You have really no friends here. You have
I
no
had
friends
nothing.
Here in Puerto Rico, really.
I so had a few friends, local neighbors and
but
things.
But nobody that could really help you program or do
How
any
could I
work
do?
With
I couldn't pay them.
Yeah, all right.
No, this is completely seat of my own pants.
By yourself.
That's
okay.
it.
So you're at this thing then working 7 days
working,
a week,
working,
12,
working,
14
working.
Hours a day,
yes.
producing this thing,
yes.
and living off of, you know, another $50 here, $20
yes.
there.
Well, you know, you can take a credit line check and pay your rent with it, and you can take your Visa card to Pueblo and buy your groceries, and that's what I was doing. I was watching these things grow. And then finding ways to get cash back so that I could pay the minimum monthly payment to keep the credit lines going, and that's how I managed.
Right, right. Okay, so over this period, you developed the program
mm-hmm.
by yourself.
Yep.
And your
right
goal, your goal
end.
Was to have it, what, by December before the following tax year?
Yeah, I knew that January 15th was kind of the... Well, February 15th is the drop dead date, but you really should have it by the end of January.
Right.
And so during that time, it was actually 1995 when I first came out, because the first one was for tax year 94.
Right.
It was PR tax 94. But I didn't even call it PR tax 94 then. I called it PR tax because in my mind, I didn't know there was going to be the following year.
Right.
So I named it PR Tax.
Right.
In retrospect, I should have said 94, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
know if it was going to be whatever. So I had no...
You were in one frame of mind.
I
94.
I was
survival.
I was going to push through to the end. I was going to make my deadline, come hell or high water, and see what happened.
Right.
That's it. So I pushed it. And honest to God, I was... towards November, December that year, really, I didn't know what was going to happen. I really didn't know, but I was pulling it together, and then I had to think, wow, this is going to, I am going to finish this
okay.
for the tax season. Now I got to worry about marketing, and I have to worry about packaging it, because this
was
floppy disk.
Step back. Here you are by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Extending yourself to the limit financially, extending yourself to the hilt physically, intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
What's your fallback? You know, what happens if this thing doesn't work?
Okay, well, I was driven by fear, because the fear of failure is very strong. It's a very strong human thing. Oh my God, I'm going to fail. So therefore, what? I'm just not going to do it because I might fail. But then I thought, well, what does failure mean? Failure would mean nobody buys the software, or I just for some reason have a breakdown and can't finish it, or I just say, oh, forget it, it's too hard.
Mm, right.
Then what do? I'd still be in Puerto Rico broke, in debt.
Right.
So I called up my mother, who lived in Vermont at the time, and said, Mom, I'm doing this thing. She knew all about it. And she said, I said to her, if this thing fails, I'm going to have to declare bankruptcy, which I'm totally against, but I probably would have had to do that.
Right.
And go live with my mom. I told her it would be 1 month to 2 months tops. And during that time, I would put my resume out. I have background. I have an MBA. At the time, it wasn't a job market like it is today. I was confident I would get a job somewhere.
Those are Clinton years. They're good. Those are good years.
Yeah, those were.
I mean, not
were
because
okay.
of Clinton, but they were good years. Whatever.
Well, it was 94, and I thought, okay, I didn't worry, but just the idea.
You needed somebody. You needed
somebody's
shoulder to
yeah.
cry at,
and
a roof over your head, and
yeah.
a mother. Yeah.
That
so
I
that
felt,
was your that was your fallback, and that made you that allowed you to sleep.
That
you have to, I mean, with these kinds of situations. You have to, what's the worst case?
What's the worst case?
And the worst case is not so bad. So
I
then
checked it out with her first, and
yeah.
I said, "Look, this is the outside possible, because you know they say." When you're trying to do something, you always have to imagine the worst possible scenario. And that was it.
That was
the worst thing, that I had to go live with my mom for a month.
Okay, well, Jennifer, we have to take a break and talk with Jennifer Bates. She's the owner and CEO of
Survivor.
Puerto Rico Soft, the purest interpreter I know. We'll be right back.